What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are joined first segment by Spectrum News, Ryan Whalen. Ryan, welcome in.
Thanks for having me back.
What do you think of our new mic screens?
I like them, yeah.
A little more professional.
It's fancy.
Yeah, I thought so. Lots going on, and want to focus in locally. You know, we do so much national stuff on this program and on the station. So thought we would start locally, and that is these rumors about Mayor Byron Brown to the OTB. Now, first, let's start. What is the position at the OTB, and why is it open?
The position is for president and CEO. It is still currently filled, but will soon be vacated by Henry Wotasik, who has been there for quite some time now. You have to go back a couple of years to get the full story with OTB. There was investigations around how they used some of the perks, Bill's Stadium Suites, the health care that they gave their board members, use of like company cars and things like that. So there was a lot of scrutiny. That rolled over, I think, to the state legislature, who didn't like the way things were running. There was a Tim Kennedy led bill in the budget a couple of years ago that basically restructured the board on the fly, and it unseated all of the current members, and it changed the way the voting worked. So instead of each county and municipality that is part of it, I think there's 17 or 19 counties and cities involved in this public benefit corporation, they all had one vote, which made it lean Republican because a lot of the rural counties are Republican legislatures. It's now weighted to the largest population centers. So Erie County, Monroe County, City of Buffalo, City of Rochester basically have the voting power. And that, of course, shifts it to Democratic priorities instead of Republican now. So Henry and two other executives took a buyout, that some state legislators are not too happy about because it's a full year salary and a nice salary, about $300,000 for Wotasik. We should all be so lucky.
Yeah.
And they are looking for a new president and CEO now.
Now, this will happen. Well, will this happen on Thursday, the deciding, or is it just a meeting about who's running or who's in the mix?
I expect it to happen on Thursday. I have talked with multiple sources who told me that Byron Brown is one of a couple of finalists, that he is a front runner, and that they were going to name a new president and CEO in early September. If you look at the OTB meeting schedule, September 5th, Thursday, would be the early September time when the board is meeting. So you can draw your own conclusions there. The only thing that might throw a wrench in this is they were supposed to have a special meeting this past week on Thursday to talk about the future of OTB, and that was unceremoniously and without any information canceled. I expect it was canceled because of the multiple stories about Byron Brown that were running, and I'm sure the board members didn't want to answer questions about their new president and CEO before they named a new president and CEO. So we'll see what happens this week, but I would keep an eye out Thursday.
Why? It seems like this is the second or third time Byron Brown's name's been up for something that's not mayor of Buffalo. Why the rumors? And is it something he has said? Why all this speculation about Byron Brown wanting to leave City Hall?
It seems clear that he is looking for a landing spot. You're right. There's been a lot of different conversations about Byron's future, and he has done little to shut it down. Remember, he's already the longest serving mayor in the history of the city. This is his fifth term. So if he finished it, it would be 20 years. I think he's at 18, going on finishing 19 now. He was brought up for the SUNY Buffalo State University president job when that opened up when Catherine Conway Turner left, and she, he never really surfaced as a front runner for that, but there was talk about his interest in the job. He obviously said that he had pondered the idea of running for Congress when Brian Higgins resigned, and ended up deciding not to do that. But he's been there for a while. I think it's become sort of politics as normal to find the next job
right
before the end of your term for some reason. But that's generally how long-term politicians in Western New York have operated as of late. And I think he can set up the city administration sort of in his image and kind of keep things moving along seamlessly, he thinks, if he gets out early and have that job, so you don't end your term and have to decide, do I want to run for re-election again, or do I need to go and find a job when I've been doing this for the past 20 years?
And it is interesting because of how hard Byron Brown fought for this current term. I mean, he won a write-in campaign, but, you know, you did say 20 years, so I guess it's time to move on. And he told us when he was on with us at the fair, he didn't you know, flat out say, no, I'm going to serve my term. He goes, my job right now is mayor of Buffalo. And he left it at that. He didn't say, yes, I'm leaving, but he didn't say, no, I'm serving out the rest of my term, which is what the question was.
That's pretty telling, don't you think?
Yeah.
It should be an easy answer. If you're planning on finishing your term, you say, I'm planning on finishing my term. If you think you're looking for something else, you say, right now, my job is mayor of the city of Buffalo.
Now, you said, you know, Wotaszek's already been bought out, but he's currently, as we speak, in that role.
Still serving in that role.
Is there an end date?
I'm not exactly sure when I think he's able to finish through the end of the year, and then he'll get another year's salary, but I'm not totally sure on that. But I know he has talked about staying on for a little while to help transition whoever the new president is.
So,
and the board has spoken very highly of Wotaszek, despite the scrutiny that he has seen over the years.
So if on Thursday Byron Brown is named in that position, do we know how long until he's no longer the mayor of Buffalo?
That's a good question. I think it when he resigns, it depends, I guess, on how quickly OTB would want him in, if he is indeed named the new president. And then there's got to be some sort of transition period. I don't think he could just not show up to work the next day. So they'll have to set that up. So that would be the next question. If he's named, when he's named, what happens as far as resignation goes with the city.
But have the scanners on Thursday.
I would.
Now, if he does step down, and whenever that date is, I remember when this first came out, August 5th or some first day in August, being a deadline for something. So if he, obviously we're after that date now. So if he does leave the position of mayor of Buffalo, what happens to the mayor position?
So there's two pieces to that. August 5th is the deadline for the State Board of Elections to fill vacancies. So basically, if someone resigns 3 months before the election, you still have time in the general election to basically hold a special election on the day of the general. Once it passes that, they say, no, we don't have time to name new candidates, have them campaign, and vote. So that passed. So under the city charter, the common council president becomes acting mayor until the vacancy is filled, which would now be the following year's election. So Chris Scanlon, who's currently the Common Council president, would be able to serve basically more than a year as acting president until January of 2026, after this election next year, if Byron resigns now.
Any so if that happens, if he is the acting mayor, any signs that he would want to run to be the mayor, to keep that position past January of 26?
Yeah, I haven't spoken with Scanlon, but I expect that he would be interested in the job. And I expect that this might be part of the reason that Byron Brown would resign now and give him basically a full year of incumbency. Chris has been on the Common Council for a while. I think he's known in his district. I don't think he has a lot of name recognition outside of his district in the city. If you're an incumbent mayor, acting mayor for a year, that changes. You're on TV all the time. You are meeting people out. So his public profile changes a lot over the year, and that gives him some advantages if he does indeed want to run.
Now, another name that we've heard, well, we did hear Tim Kennedy, but I'm guessing you don't want to leave Congress to come back and be
mayor. I don't think he's going to leave Congress right after he got in, though.
No. But Sean Ryan's name has been associated with the mayor of Buffalo. And if you, he's our guest at 11, by the way.
Ask him.
Oh, that's on the docket. but he's also, if you've looked recently, really focused on the city portion of his district, which obviously is the most populated portion, but he has been focusing on the city. Is that almost a given that he will throw his name in if Byron Brown steps aside?
I would expect that he'll at least give it some serious consideration. Look, there's a couple top jobs in Erie County politics: the city of Buffalo mayor, the county executive, and then the congressional seat. The congressional seat's gone. It probably will be for some time. It's a pretty heavily Democratic seat. Tim Kennedy's pretty young.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And expect it to come up again for a while. County executive, who knows, right? Mark Bolinkar just said this is his last term. He's been in almost as long as Byron Brown's been in at the mayor's seat. And the Democratic Party, I don't know what the transition plan is there. These jobs come up very rarely. So if you're toward the top of the party, as Sean Ryan is, involved with ECDC, you got to take advantage of the shots when you get them. So I would expect him to give it serious consideration.
Mark Poloncarz has said before that it was his final term and then ran again.
I think it's really, really his final term based on what he has said publicly. But we'll have to see when that comes up.
Any idea of where his landing spot might be?
That's a good question. Mark is an attorney. I don't believe Byron is. I think when you have the law background, that gives you more options as far as, I don't think he's going to go and start doing trials or anything like that. But there's, you know, a lot of corporate jobs that could be available. He's close with Kathy Hochul, who's still governor. I don't know if there'd be a potential appointment available. There's a lot of ways you could speculate on that, but I don't think he's spoken about what he wants to do next yet.
Now, also, November won't have the special election for mayor, but there are some districts up in Albany. Anyone that you're zoning in on? Anything that you think makes an interesting state election, either in Albany or in some of the new kind of new congressional districts?
Locally, we don't get much with Congress, right?
They're givens.
They're givens. The 23rd goes Republican and the 26th goes Democrat. Sorry if I'm slow on the districts. They've changed names a couple of times while I've been covering politics.
Where's 27? Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, I don't believe 27 exists anymore. As far as state legislature races go, we were talking earlier about the assembly district out in Lockport. Yeah. Mike Norris was a conference leader. He is cross-endorsed to be a state Supreme Court judge. Usually when you're cross-endorsed, you get the job. Those judgeships are nice, enviable positions for a lot of politicians. And so Mike decided to stop his campaign for assembly and move into that state judge race, which opened it up for the Republicans to name a new candidate there. They named Paul Bologna, who is Mike's chief of staff. Not totally surprising. They had to sort of, that district is interesting because it's mostly Niagara County, but it is Erie County, places like Clarence too. Usually Erie County is sort of the, you know, the tail that wags the dog. In this case, I think the Niagara County Republican Committee got more say. They certainly had more voting power there. And so they named Paul, and I think that that's sort of a natural transition, as we talk about. He's worked with the staff. He knows Mike. He's been there for a while. He hasn't campaigned for a seat, so that he's learning on the fly. And he's got the former Lockport mayor, Michelle Roman, who's a Democrat, who won a mayorship that does go back and forth. But generally, I think the Republican is the favorite there. So she has shown an ability to win in that area and to maybe get some Republicans or moderates to vote for her. So that'll be interesting to watch. I think the Monica Wallace race is always interesting. You know, they haven't been able to get her out of there, but they've certainly tried to. And you just never know how the Republican candidate, Chudzinski, I believe, is going to fare there. But that's usually a target area for the GOP to go after as far as Democratic seats around here. You're not going to get a city assembly seat or anything like that. So, you know, keep an eye on that one, too.
Tim Kennedy's old seat. What's going on with that? Is that currently filled by April Baskin? Is that waiting till Election Day?
Tim Kennedy's seat is vacant right now.
Okay. Does that get filled on Election Day?
That I don't know if they can. That's a good question. They may be able to appoint after the election once they have somebody in, but I believe that they just waited out until January 1st.
Okay.
So Baskin is the Democratic endorsed candidate, and she, in once again, a very Democratic district, is likely to be your next state senator there.
And then we'll follow that with a special election in the legislature, or is that appointed for Erie County, like we saw with Howard Johnson?
That'll be appointed.
That's appointed.
Yes.
Okay. Very interesting.
Yes.
Now,
which is how basically all of the legislators, it seems, have come into the Erie County legislature recently.
Yeah. How do I get on that list? No, I'm kidding. I love my job here. Ryan, you've been doing some reporting on RFK, you told me.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting to follow what's happening with RFK Jr. in New York State. Obviously, he has suspended his campaign and endorsed Donald Trump. But he sort of half suspended his campaign, right? He said, I still want my supporters to be able to vote for me and back me in states where the presidency is not up for grabs, basically. So he's trying to get off the ballot and struggling in a lot of swing states, Wisconsin, Michigan, and I believe there was one other state, maybe Nevada, that basically said, nope, you're on the ballot. You got to still be on the ballot. So now he's got to tell voters, well, I'm on the ballot, but don't vote for me because I think that might help Kamala Harris win the election. But in the other, you know, roughly 40 states, he wants to be on the ballot still. And ironically, he can't get on the ballot in New York State. He collected the signatures that he needed, but there was an issue. A democratically aligned political action committee, Clear Choice Action, sued, and they have sued him in other states as well, said you put the wrong residence on your petitions, so they're void. He listed New York as his home state, and they said he lives in California with his wife, Cheryl Hines, who's still a working actress. And he basically admitted during this trial, well, yeah, I live in California. I'm there a lot. But, you know, I vote in New York. I've got a hunting license in New York. I've always planned on, you know, moving back there permanently at some point. And the judges said, well, that's too bad that you live in California. So these are all void.
Wow.
Brings up an interesting federal constitution idea where a state's not allowed to add an additional residency requirement to run for president. And as long as you're, you know, qualified and from the United States, you should be able to run for president. So now they're saying this form basically created an additional residency requirement. The other attorneys are saying, nope, it's just a compliance issue. All he had to, he could have been from the moon if he wanted to be, but, or he could have put down the moon, but you have to put the truthful answer to where you live. So far, a state Supreme Court judge has disqualified his ballots, and a appellate division court just upheld that ruling. I suspect that they may appeal to the state's highest court, the Court of Appeals, but they're running out of time because the ballots have to be certified to send out to the counties on September 11th, and absentees go out on September 20th.
So it's a race against time.
It is. And at what point does he say, I'm not even campaigning anymore, is this worth it to continue on? But there's a lot of third-party enthusiasts that are watching this closely because, remember, he created a new party, the We the People Party in New York, and it was supposed to get ballot status until it was rejected. But you get automatic ballot status if you hit 3% of the total vote, or I believe it's 250,000 votes, whichever is larger. So right now on the ballot, the only parties that have automatic ballot status are the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, the Conservative Party, and the Working Families Party. Both of those do fusion voting. They cross-endorse Republicans and Democrats, which is why they've been able to reach this threshold in presidential and governor's races. So this would have been a real interesting test if an actual independent candidate could reach that threshold and then create this whole new party in New York that other candidates could run on for the next 2 years.
It is interesting. New York has that because the Libertarian Party also having troubles getting on the ballots here in New York State.
Yes. Libertarian. Basically, any party that has run an actual independent candidate since they changed these rules, I want to say 4 years ago, 5 years ago, has not even come close to this threshold. And it used to be much lower. It used to be, I believe, 50,000 votes to get this automatic status. And they said, well, it's way too many parties. You know, it's just this long checklist of parties and people running on multiple party lines. We need to change this. There's a lot of minutiae into how this came around, but they haven't been able to do it. So the Libertarian Party, the Green Party, everybody but the Conservative and Working Families basically doesn't exist anymore. I mean, they exist as unaffiliated groups, but they can't run candidates unless they collect signatures, which is a difficult task in itself. So, the amount of party affiliations in New York State has significantly decreased over the last several years.
Well, Ryan, all stuff we'll be keeping an eye on, and I have a feeling that if Thursday goes the way we think it'll be, we'll be talking to you again very soon.
All right. I'm happy to come back.
Make sure you watch him over on Spectrum News. He's Ryan Whalen.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.